is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down.
Shoot up, man.
Here's Carmichael Dave.
All right, let's just drop the news at the bottom of the hour, please, until whoever can figure it out can figure it out. The last, at 7:35, or at 7:30, we played a report from, what, a week ago? 2 weeks ago? And now that report was cut in half. I don't know if it's a computer issue, I don't know if it's an editing issue, but I'm serious. Can we not do the news? Just tell them, take the rest of the day off until we figure it out. Because, listen, we do our best to sound like an amateur radio program. We don't need any help. Any help. We're good enough as it is at that. This was the U.S. Open women's final over the weekend.
Steady match.
And finally, that was close. But from unseeded to French Open champion, Barbara Krejcikova closes it out.
Okay. So Barbara Krejcikova is your U.S. Women's Open champion, beating, I'm going to just mangle this. I don't know what her first name is. Pavluchenkova. All right.
Friend of the show.
I've never heard of either of these people. And by the way, this isn't a women's thing. Novak Djokovic won the U.S. men the French men's title over the weekend. Now the Djokovic Nadal match was awesome. I'm gonna ask you. Let's play a little French Open trivia, Jay. Novak Djokovic beat the following person for the French Open championship. Everybody else, play along. Did he beat Dieter Altmaier, Christian Mutte, or Victor Pospisil?
B,
which was Christian Mutte. Trick question. It was Stefanos Tsitsipas.
Stefano, the guy from American Idol like 10 years ago?
Yes, him.
Okay.
I don't know. I know who Federer is. I know who Djokovic is. I know who Andy...
Roddick.
Roddick, yeah. But no, who's the English guy that's really good?
Pete Sampras.
No, the English... Britain. Well, whoever. I know that...
Lennox Lewis.
I know that guy is. I know who Venus Williams is. I know who Serena Williams is. I know who...
you know who the stars are.
Yeah. And who the hell... And I also get that the French Open's clay, and that's always like a weird tournament, because it's... You know, we were talking last week about... Stadiums are different in baseball. Like grass here, clay there. You know, I get it. But like tennis needs something, dude. At least in America. I know they're doing fine everywhere else, but I don't know who the hell these people are.
And well, gosh darn it, we gotta get to the bottom of that.
Then I turn it on and I'm watching it, and I don't know if it's just because serves are so fast now. It's just so boring, dude. Like, I'm going to totally age myself. My earliest tennis memories. Earliest ones.
It's not McEnroe anymore.
McEnroe, Connors, Steffi Graf, Monica Seles.
Every old person is John McEnroe's their go-to.
But then Pete Sampras, Andre Agassi, Michael Chang. Like, that was my golden years. And Yvonne Lendl was like
tennis's
in the
golden years.
Right, right.
Because, I actually think McEnroe's years were tennis's golden years.
And I think so much of it was like, yeah, you've got some pretty awesome serves. But, like, the rallies, like, tennis for me, when it's at its best, is, like, 10-shot rallies where, like, dude makes it barely over the net, it clips the net, and then other dude lobs it behind him, and then other dude runs to the back and forehand whatever, and then the guy's at the net, and they're going just, it's, like, great shot after great shot after great shot, and then finally somebody wins, and everybody cheers, and everyone gets a chance to recover, and your blood pressure's up the whole time. This is just like serve, ace, serve, hits it to third base, serve into the net, serve, game. Oh, here's like one rally from some unknown I don't know. I don't know. Tennis just – and Wimbledon's coming up, dude. Wimbledon used to be a thing in my family. We used to love it. Get up in the morning. This is so cheeseball. My mom, every year, once a year for Wimbledon, she would – this is like super special to my sister and I. It would be like the morning of the women's or men's final, depending. She'd just pick a random one. It was a Saturday or Sunday morning, and we'd all wake up early to watch it, and she would serve us strawberries and cream. Like they do it at Wimbledon. And it was so cool to us.
That's so cute.
It was a summer day. We knew it was going to be hot outside, but it was morning, so it was nice. And we'd watch the Wimbledon final. It was awesome. Now, who's the Wimbledon favorite this year? I don't know, Djokovic? Who's the Wimbledon favorite on the women's side? I have no idea. Right. Moving to a more popular sport like soccer that's mainstream in the United States. This is absolutely no laughing matter. This was, if you know, people say when somebody has a horrific injury, like the Theismann thing, and they're always like, don't watch,
mm-hmm.
right? Okay. I'm not trying to be Mr. Hyperbole here. I would watch every broken bone ever in sports on a loop once before I would ever watch this again. And I watched it, and man, am I sorry. If you haven't seen it, you don't. Christian Eriksen is the captain for Denmark, and it was Euro 2020's opening match, their opening match against Finland on Saturday. This is what it sounded like in real time on ESPN.
Play is going to be halted again, and this does look serious. Well, Christian Eriksen in some distress by the look of things.
Well, players knew straight away that was a heavy fall.
Well, you can tell immediately, can't you, from players' body language. So it's a pause here.
Challenge seemed pretty innocuous, didn't it? But that's not a good look at all.
Now, that is very disturbing to look at, I must say. And it's all gone quiet for understandable reasons in Copenhagen.
So Christian Eriksen on the side of the pitch, you got past the ball, and you see him sort of take two staggers forward and mm-hmm. then just face plant on the ground. It took everybody a second, and once they realized, when you look down and his eyes were open and he was motionless, rushing the trainers on the field. According to one of them, said yesterday that he suffered, it was a cardiac issue. The guy said, and I quote, when we got to him, he was gone. They took the paddles out, and he came back after one shocking, or whatever you call it, I'm sorry. And then CPR was administered, either before or after, I don't know. They then take him off the field, and the good news is he sent a video message to his teammates. He is in stable condition, telling them to focus on their next game. He's 29 years old, and it wouldn't matter if he was 49 years old. It's still scary as hell. One thing that was interesting, and here's the follow-up there.
UEFA, I can tell you, has just announced that this match has been suspended due to the medical emergency that we've all been taking in. That is hot off the press.
So they suspend the match.
Mm-hmm.
Exact right thing to do. Then they're put, the Denmark's players are put in a position where they have to decide whether to finish the match that evening or the next morning.
And mind you, they just watched their captain
right
collapse on the field.
So the game resumed later that day and never should have. Like, what are you doing?
That was such a – for the UEFA to put – those players in that position at that moment.
Right.
I get it. It's tournament play. I understand that. There's a schedule. Yeah. I get
it. Doesn't matter.
You're right. It doesn't matter. Like, you can't even give them a day to process what they just saw. Like, we can't do that where the damn tournament means that much. Like, hey, guys, Yeah, I know you just watched your captain class, but we need a decision, and we need it now. It's just garbage.
That's where I don't know. I just bring that over. You know, it's so interesting when we compare and contrast sports.
Mm-hmm.
Remember we were talking about, again, it was soccer last weekend with the stuff in USA-Mexico being
right.
thrown out of the stands and multiple players getting hit with stuff, and they just, well, play on. You know, I don't even want to name a name, but just imagine XYZ star football, basketball, baseball player collapsing like that on the field. They're not playing the game.
Oh, God, no. If
my God, they're not playing.
Yeah, put said player in the top three sports in the United States because I don't even want to put that on. I don't even want to say it by name.
Exactly.
And that same situation happens. There is no way 20, 30 minutes later, teams are gathered in a locker room and the head of, again, said league is like, all right, guys, so we know such and such just went down. It's scary and you're probably all not in the right mental space, but that doesn't really matter because we have advertisers we want to make sure are taken care of. We need a decision now. Like, come on, that's not happening.
Absolutely stupid. So anyways, they end up playing the game or playing the match, and that's fine.
Denmark loses 1-0 to Finland.
Shockingly. Like, I'm surprised they didn't lose 10-0. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have been able to pay attention. And what I meant in the tease earlier is that is the second time in a week that viewers have been treated to a period of unknown and tragic circumstances live on the air. Now, in retrospect, finding out John Rahm tested positive for COVID and had to withdraw from the tournament is not in the same universe.
Two different worlds.
That's what happened to Christian Eriksen. But for about 5, 6, 7 minutes, all you knew as a viewer was John Rahm was walking off from an insanely successful round, going into Sunday with a 6-shot lead, and he gets told something by somebody, you don't know who the hell it is, and his knees buckle. And he says, not again. And then he's being instantly consoled by his caddy and others. He walks into the tent, looks like he's about to burst into tears. The caddy at one point shoves the camera away. You're left for almost 10 minutes. And by the way, Nick Faldo and
Jim Nantz?
Thank you. God, Jim Nantz and Nick
Jim
Faldo.
Jim Lampley will be calling Triller for boxing minutes now.
They don't know what's going on. They say they don't know what's going on. And we're all thinking the same thing. Oh, my God, a wife, a child, a parent, somebody has passed away or there's been a horrible accident. Oh, my God. And then when you find out that it is horrible, that he tested positive for COVID, he has to withdraw from the tournament. This is the worst thing in the world. Yet the thing that you say that you don't want to say is that I guarantee you I was, and I'm pretty damn sure 95% of everybody else was like, oh, God, thank God. Thank God John Rahm just... All that happened was he tested positive for a horrific disease that has claimed hundreds of thousands of people around the world, and he has to withdraw from the tournament. Thank God that's all that it was. But for that moment, you didn't know. Same thing with Christian Eriksen.
Right.
You had no idea.
No, you're just sat there holding your breath like, oh, my God, please be alive.
Correct.
How bad is it that you, like, ooh. And so, I want to go back to the team, though, real quick, because sure. If we're as a viewer thinking that, right?
Right.
That's what we got. What is going on the pitch in that moment? And then again, expecting guys just to make a quick decision. Hey, we playing tonight or tomorrow? Come on, man.
From the 775, the NFL continues the games after catastrophic injuries. Same with the NHL. This is not a catastrophic injury. I'm not talking about a torn knee, a broken leg.
Right.
I can tell you right now, if, again, we're not, I'm not going to name names, knock on woods, too superstitious, but if XYZ... hell, player, much less star player, goes into cardiac arrest on the field. Yeah, odds are they're not playing the rest of the day. Odds are the game is canceled. Okay, both teams are circled, praying, and then you see him walk off the pitch or you walk off the field. Now, there were also, I don't even need to go there, but
yeah, I think the point has been made.
The point has been made.
Really poor. Really
poor. Really.
Bad decision-making.
Really, really, really poor. Unlike, by the way, I mean, there's like literally no... There is no segue, so let's just get into it. Nets Bucks. Here's Kyrie.
Or is it Bucks Nets now?
Sure you go. There you go. Here's Kyrie Irving.
Out top, Middleton had it stripped by Irving. He'll go to the other end. Uncontested, and he lays it in.
That's the good news.
Durant being hounded. Back door to Irving, who lays it in. And then fell hard on his right side, and he's down. Holding his right ankle. Up top, Antetokounmpo. Out of the left, Connaughton for three is no good. Irving is still down as the Nets get the rebound. Griffin's got it. Irving's holding his right ankle. Sebastian Poirier is going to run out now to attend to him. Nets trainer, Kyrie Irving, is in pain. He's slamming the floor. It's his right ankle. Oh, he really turned it back.
Yeah, it came down.
We just looked at it on a replay, and he stepped on a foot of a Buck defender, and he turned that right ankle badly.
Shockingly, a silly non sequitur for me. I was watching Kyrie in that whole thing, and the announcer actually mentioned it. He was slamming the floor, and I've torn my knee before and slammed the floor. What is it about when we suffer a really bad injury, we slap the ground?
Because
is that just a release?
I think so. It's just
seems
a
like a weird
release.
Thing to hurt your. Is it maybe we're trying to hurt our hand to take the focus off the knee subconsciously?
No, I just think it's a release. It's just a release.
I'd love to see one of those little 10-minute sports science things where a doctor says this is why, because it's an instinct. Nobody goes, I'm just going to slam the floor because I saw Kyrie Irving do it. You instinctively do that when you hurt yourself.
There's not a – they haven't put out a timetable yet on him, right?
No, but they did put out a picture where they blew up his foot.
Mm-hmm.
And all you see, it's a regular old shot straight up, and you see the entire sole of his shoe at a 90-degree angle when he came down. His leg goes – it's straight up and down. And then the sole of his shoe, 90-degree angle, he bent it 90 degrees.
Dude, when you see that fall, then the image you just painted, and a guy on crutches, that doesn't really sit well in the sense of, I don't think he'll be back this series.
You certainly, and we the number one rule is always, you know, speculation, yikes. We try not to. But I would go this far. If there was a Vegas bet, and I'm sure there is, will Kyrie Irving play in the remainder of this series? I would certainly and overwhelmingly bet no.
Right.
Also doesn't sound like James Harden's going to be back for game five.
Now no, the way Steve Nash described what it's going to take for him to get back, definitely not back for game five. It sounds like game six is even. That's a long shot.
I mean, this might all be on Kevin Durant. And speaking of Steve Nash, by the way, he actually said yesterday, or maybe it was the day before, I'm sorry, he said over the weekend, quote, James Harden has to string multiple high-intensity loads on consecutive days before he'll be cleared to play. This is one of those things where it's not karma, it's nothing like that, but now all of a sudden, here comes a new narrative. Kevin Durant couldn't get it done with Russell Westbrook and Serge Ibaka. Kevin Durant joins the super team. Kevin Durant wins a couple titles. Kevin Durant joins the Nets, and they're a super team now with Irving and Harden. And I like how the graphics also are trying to show Blake Griffin. Yeah, he's not. No. Anyways, now all of a sudden it's okay. All right, KD, you're the guy. Here's your chance. Because, by the way, the rest of the Nets aren't terrible. They still have some pieces, Joe Harris being a big one. They're not terrible, and I haven't taken the time to look at it, but I would say the Nets team without Durant, Irving, and Harden, I would like to compare that to some of LeBron's Cleveland teams without LeBron, and some champions in years past without their stars.
Dude, the Nets can't win without those two guys.
Let's just put it that way. I don't think they can either, but is Kevin Durant the best player remaining in the tournament?
Right now?
Yeah. Tim or Giannis, right?
Yeah. I lean more toward Giannis still.
It's I mean, you could argue Kawhi, we're in the playoffs. Mitchell's having the most dominant
scoring,
but he's hurt. And also, I mean, seriously, are you taking Kevin Durant for the rest of the playoffs, or are you taking Donovan Mitchell, hurt or no hurt?
I'm taking Kevin Durant.
So am I.
But are you taking Giannis or Kevin Durant?
That's an interesting question. That's the one that, well, let's complete it. Nobody on the Hawks. You're not taking Trey over Kevin Durant. Are you taking Joel Embiid over Kevin Durant?
Ooh. I mean, even with Joel playing hurt right now, he's been a monster.
He has on both ends.
But let's get back to the real thing here is what player would you swap out with Kevin Durant that's going to lead that Nets team minus James Harden and Kyrie Irving to a title?
2016 LeBron?
2016 LeBron still had Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love.
Yeah.
That matters. Like, Joe Harris is good. Like I said, you're right.
They have
some solid pieces on that team, but Kevin Durant is not going to wield that team to a championship by himself. He might be able to get them past the Bucks.
Right.
Might.
Right.
I wouldn't bet on it. By himself, I would not bet on it.
Bigger challenge for the Nets. Getting past the Bucks in a 3-game series, which is what it is now.
Mm-hmm.
Or getting past the Sixers in a 7-game series, assuming Philly beats Atlanta, and assuming Harden and Irving are still out.
If Irving and Harden are still out in a 7-game with the Sixers, they don't have a chance.
Mm, okay.
You think Kevin Durant could wheel that team?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think they'll get Harden back before the end of that series. I think they could get Harden back.
As long as they get Harden back, yeah. If it's KD and Harden, they're fine.
Now all of a sudden you have a super narrative going, which is, hold on, Kyrie Irving has a ring. So does KD. He has two.
And finals MVPs. Those matter.
All right, but now it's like, oh, here comes James Harden, who doesn't have a ring, and KD, who's... By the way, speaking of guys you might not trade KD out for.
Giannis attacking to the rim. Right hand slam. How about that? Power jam by Giannis. Bucks have a 1-point lead. 37-36. Timeout, Brooklyn. Holiday into the lane. Lob to Giannis. Slam dunk with the right hand. Spectacular play by Giannis on a lob by Holiday. Bucks up 17.
I mean... Guy's name should be Exciteness. Not Giannis. He's an exciting player.
Mm-hmm.
Exciteness.
Yeah, I got it.
By the way, Giannis Antetokounmpo only shot 5 3-pointers. Mm-hmm. He's 20% yesterday. And 50% from the line. Two things. One. Three things. One, stop shooting 3-pointers ever.
Unless you're like super wide open and there's no time left on the clock.
There you go.
To do
that's okay. That's the exception. No more 3-pointers, Giannis, number one. Number two, Giannis, this offseason, do not work on anything but your free throws. Nothing. Here's the thing, dude. He's shooting like 50%. Now, 5 of 10. Imagine he makes 2 of those. Add 2 points per game to your scoring already. Much less 3. If Milwaukee advances, one of the main storylines for the rest of the season, rest of the playoffs, is going to be hack a Antetokounmpo. Because that if you're going to hack a Shaq, if you're going to hack a DeAndre, this dude's shooting 50%. Hack a Antetokounmpo. There's going to be a problem. And you don't want to be. There is nothing worse than being a star player who's sitting there with the opposing crowd going crazy and you can't make your free throws and it just gets in your head. So stay tuned on that one. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next.
All right, we got a U.S. Open update for you. We'll get to that. Once in a Blue Moon with Jay Mars, and I have a bonus factoid for you. Is Nikola Jokic doing something that hasn't been done since most of you have been alive? We'll talk to you about that now.
One is bald, the other completely lacks talent. And they're both here to entertain you. It's the Carmichael Dave Show on Sports 1140 KHCK.
Remember our U.S. Open coverage presented by Frank Cockrell of Retirement Security Centers. Birdie your financial future at Frank on the Radio at rscenters.com and by Naturewood Home Furnishings. It's all about choices and also about quality. Also want to remind you it's presented by Safe Credit Union. Let them put you first by the Roseville Meat Company. Hey, that's your modern-day, old-fashioned meat market. By the way, I've been to Roseville Meat Company.
Several times.
No joke, dude. No joke. That is...
It's something.
That is some fine.
If you love meat in your mouth, it's the place to be.
That is fine, fine, fine meat indeed. Went there, got all our Christmas meat there. True story. And you get what you pay for, and it was a lot cheaper than I thought it would be. I want to check out real quick on the US Open. We'll be bringing you facts all week long. Favorites to win the US Open. No real surprise here, guy, despite the whole COVID deal. John Rahm. A favorite, followed by Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, and Bryson DeChambeau. Koepka and DeChambeau are tied third and fourth biggest favorites.
Do you think the USGA has its you-know-what enough?
So. I hope so.
Together enough so. That they realize, like, all right, you know what's bigger than our little tournament right now that's going to put some eyes mm-hmm. on said tournament?
Yep.
Is grouping Koepka and DeChambeau together?
I mean...
Screw the game with Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
No, I want USGA to say US Open, Koepka, DeChambeau, because I'm telling you, I will not be able to take my eyes off the TV.
If I was a gambling man, and I'm not, you know, you've got your top guys. Jordan Spieth, I mean, they're all kind of bunched together, but Jordan Spieth, sixth, just behind Xander Schauffele. But if you're looking for good buys, 29-1, Victor Hovland, who's been running or youngest winner on the tour this year. Justin Thomas at 19-1. There are some names down there. You know, Mickelson's going to get a lot of money on him just because. I'm trying to look for a big name down, somebody a steal. Our own Cameron Champ, 210-1. Cam has not been playing well recently. Mm-hmm. I hope he figures out whatever. He blew up, I think it was a tournament. I think the last two tournaments, I believe, he didn't make the cut. And one was, yeah, he was in the 80s at some point. So I hope he was just sick or it's a minor and very easily fixable injury, whatever it is. But we're always behind Cameron Champ, 10,000 billion percent. Right now it's time. Once in a Blue Moon, here's Jay Mars.
Once in a Blue Moon, brought to you by Blue Moon Beer. Here's Jay Mars.
From ESPN Stats and Info.
Uh-huh.
Today is the 23-year anniversary of an iconic shot by number 23.
Oh, the push-off.
On this date in 1998, Michael Jeffrey Jordan scored 45 points and hit a jumper versus the Jazz with 5.2 seconds left to clinch his sixth and final NBA championship.
How do you think history is changed if they called the push-off? And by the way, it wasn't a push-off. I'm fine with the call. But I'm just saying, what if they did? Did the Bulls still win the title?
Nah, they'll figure out a way. Or yes, excuse me, yes, they do. Okay. I'm sorry. The Bulls would win. It's the Bulls, man.
Yeah, that was a great shot.
Bulls didn't lose in the finals. I don't know if you knew that.
Remember how he held the follow-through?
Oh, yeah.
And I remember, I think it was Bob Costas was on the call. So mm-hmm. that might be the last shot we ever see Michael Jordan.
And I wish it was.
So do I.
I wish it
that's
was.
How you go
I
out.
Wish that's how MJ went out.
I don't need Wizards MJ.
Wizards MJ, I find it hilarious how we have really just kind of scrubbed that from history, I feel
is
like.
Is Wizards MJ the worst?
Yes. 100.
Worse than Jerry Rice.
It's either Wizards MJ or Mets Willie Mays.
Oh, God. Yeah. That's Cleveland Shaq sucked.
But Shaq is still not on that level.
I know. I agree. So actually, Boston Shaquille O'Neal was terrible. That was, ugh.
Did he end with Boston or Cleveland? I can never remember because it was so bad by the end.
I remember. Nikola Jokic did something that hasn't happened since 1989.
Oh, 1989.
Public Enemy, look at you.
Look at me.
Little Chuck D.
Fight the power, indeed.
The MVP was swept in a playoff series. That has not happened since the Detroit Pistons in 1989 did that too.
The Los Angeles Lakers, and they need to provide context for that. Mm-hmm. Magic was essentially hurt the entire NBA Finals.
Yeah, Magic.
After winning the MVP, like I feel like that context is kind of necessary.
The Hawks did it to Moses Malone in 79. That's a four-game sweep in the first, or a three-game sweep in the first round. Trailblazers to Kareem in 77, the Knicks to Wes Unseld in 1969. Jokic is the second MVP to be ejected in the last 25 postseasons. You remember the other?
In the last 25, he's the second MVP. So let's do some quick. So going back to 96, Allen Iverson?
I'll give you a hint. His first name rhymes with Schmordell.
Wardell Stewart played the NFL.
Wardell Curry.
Yeah, Wardell. Steph got ejected.
Steph got ejected.
Yeah, you know, Steph has always been a guy that just hothead. Uncanny.
That damn hothead Steph Curry. What are you thinking?
Got to keep your kids away from him. He's a bad influence, that Steph.
We're having fun here, and I don't want to screw up the fun. Sad news today. From the world of football, Jay.
Are we starting another spring league? Are we going to have three of them now? Because that would be extremely disappointing and sad.
Yeah, some other billionaire has decided to waste billions, hundreds of millions of dollars. Now it's the end of the era, end of an era, I should say, as Nick Mullins.
No!
Nick Mullins.
Not Big Pick Nick!
He is signed with the Eagles.
No!
Yeah, yep, yep. His time with the 49ers is over.
And he has soared to Philadelphia.
Leaving hearts across Northern California sore.
Like that play on words there, folks.
Nick Mullins, famous for that one play. And I'll never forget that game that he played in where he threw the ball
to the other team and they caught it and they ran it for a touchdown.
Nick Mullins is richer, more successful than either of us will be combined.
That's fine.
So we can have a little fun. So calm down, everybody. You might have seen, speaking of the tennis, not the U.S. Open, it was the French Open. You might have seen after he won, Novak Djokovic handed his racket to a boy on the right on the old sidelines, and the kid went, like you should, ballistic. You just got Djokovic's winning racket. Turns out it wasn't just Djokovic being the other Joker, as we like to call him. It wasn't just Djokovic,
the more successful of the two, dare I say.
The one who didn't get ejected. All-time money leader for men, by the way.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. It wasn't just Djokovic being fun and cool. Turns out there was a whole strategy, a whole thought behind it, Jay.
Well, I don't know the boy, but he was in my ear the entire match, basically. Especially when I was two sets to Ulov down, he was encouraging me. He was actually giving me tactics as well. He was like, hold your serve, get an easy first ball, and then dictate, go to his backhand. Like, he was coaching me, literally. And so I thought, I found that very, very cute and very nice. And I felt like it was to give the racket to the best person was him after the match. So that was kind of my gratitude for him sticking with me and supporting me.
That's pretty cool. Kids rooting for Djokovic the whole time, rooting him on, cheering him on, blah, 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 gets the racket. Now, two things. This is the bad side of my brain. Number one, is it wrong for me to raise a little bit of an eyebrow only because this kid was sitting front row at the French Open Finals? Is he going to be, I mean, listen, we're probably talking about a kid with a little, I don't know this for a fact, and if it turns out that, like, he's from some wherever and
from somewhere
donated the tickets and I
Boys and Girls Club type,
I don't know, wherever
deal,
I take it all back. But if he's a kid of some like rich jet setters and he was just sitting there like basically yammering the whole time and annoying everybody.
He's a kid.
Whatever. He's just it's like shut your kid up. Come on. Djokovic knows how to play the game. And then he gets the racket on top of that. And meanwhile, Jimmy Tanner.
Jimmy Tanner,
third level. Mm-hmm. Well, it's in France. Jacques Tanner in the third level is, he's cheering too. He isn't getting rackets. I'm just saying, man, the rich get
richer. I'm saying you're an awful person.
Saying the kid's probably spoiled. He's Probably spoiled.
You're an awful person.
How am I not? Come on.
How are you going to take this nice story and just completely put it on its ass?
It's way too much. Anyway, it's pretty impressive. I'm happy for the kid.
No, you're not. You're mad it was the kid and not you.
I know. I want the
You would be so happy if you were sitting front row at the French Open and you were coaching up Djokovic.
I'd auction it off for charity.
No, you wouldn't.
You know what? That little boy should auction it off for charity.
Shut up.
Final stat before we break.
He's rich.
He
has everything.
His parents are rich.
His parents can buy him three rackets.
Listen, how much is a front row seat to the French Open?
Probably a lot.
A lot. I'm sorry, kid's not eating, Cheerios for dinner. Not there's anything wrong with that. Chess grandmasters burn up to 6,000 calories per day while playing. That amounts to an average weight loss of 2 pounds a day or 10 to 12 pounds during a 10-day tournament playing chess.
Don't tell me chess players aren't athletes.
They sustain elevated blood pressure for hours, which is similar to competitive marathon runners.
Yeah, duh. I've always compared chess player and marathon runner.
I am here for the chess diet. The chess diet coming soon. We'll take a break.
That was nice.
Coming up next.
All right. We will take a break. When we get back, this classic movie debuted 30 years ago today. There's no chance you get it unless you cheated and you know it. And we'll give you what's on tap and all that fun stuff. And maybe a crossover. I don't know. We'll figure it out next.
Yeah, let's go. Come on.
On tap. Here's what you need to know, what you need to watch, what you need to follow today. It's What's on Tap, brought to you by
the NBA Playoff Finals. Learn something new every day.
Playoff finals, as opposed to just the NBA Finals
or the regular season finals, which are my favorite of the two finals.
Yeah, Chris is on Chris our YouTube chat, and he was making a joke. LeBron James won all the basketball matches. Now he's going to the playoff finals.
And if he wins the playoff finals, he gets to have one of them there parades. And they're going to tell him LeBron did a good job.
Alex Wood. Hey.
Hey.
How about this matchup?
All right.
Alex Wood versus Matt Peacock.
Yeah. Wooden Peacock. Oh, my.
Yeah. Wooden Peacock.
Or is it Peacock?
I don't know. I got to ask.
If your last name was spelled Peacock, would you go with Peacock or Peacock?
Peacock. I do a lot to – listen, you can't do anything about your last name. You can certainly do things about your first name. I mean, not that there's anything wrong
with
that. You
can do stuff with your last name, too.
Yeah, I guess so. Wood versus Peacock.
Oh, my.
Diamondbacks Giants or Peacock versus Wood. That's at 6:45. Right here at KTK, though, A's Angels. This time, it's for real. Dylan Bundy, who for some reason is still starting on my fantasy team.
Why? He's not pitching
1-6 with a 6.6 KDRA.
Dylan Bundy, not exactly
I missed the draft this year, so it auto-drafted.
Yeah, but it doesn't auto-set a lineup. You can take him out. Point. Dylan Bundy, not exactly putting up all-star caliber numbers for a guy who was expected to be the ace of the Angels rotation.
Hey, listen. And a guy who's figured something out his last couple starts, we'll see if that's for real. Sean, it's not Boyaya. It's Manaya lately.
God, dude. Give it up. It's not your day.
Wow.
You're worse than Chris this morning, and he's been awful.
Come on, Sean Manaya.
Yeah.
Not Boyaya.
Or is it? Oh, I got one for you. Look at me, everybody. I'm Carmichael Dave. Is it Sean Personaya?
Yeah, dude. It's 2021. Get with it, Holmes. Sixers Hawks 4:30 tonight in Atlanta. Philly up 2-1. Who's the favorite in this one, Jay?
This game is probably favoring the Sixers of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania by 1.5.
Double it.
3?
Philly by 3.
Wow.
Clippers Jazz tonight in LA. Utah up 2-1 in this series. LA by
1.
5
points?
No, rebounds.
Why rebounds?
I don't know.
Okay.
That's just the way it is. Some things will never change. Bruce Hornsby, everybody. Do we have a crossover?
Finding that out right now.
Uh-huh.
We do.
What?
We have one.
Do we really?
Would you like to get to it?
I'd love to, please.
What's happening with Jason Ross and Doug Christie?
All right, hit that horn, babe. Let's dance.
Let's find out right now at the crossover. Here's today's crossover.
Congratulations for your MVP. Well deserved.
That's on me.
Sending you bigger.
What was that?
I had a...
Was that the crossover?
No, I had a U.S. Open story up, and there's a video.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at my whole computer. I'm freaking out going, what
no,
did I
No, that
did
was
I
on
do?
Me. Ready to cross it?
Yeah.
Happy Monday, guys.
Hi.
If we flash back to Friday, man, Doug, we got kind of crushed by Dave's question about the book. I mean, it's a good question, but I don't think you and I had any books that moved us.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, but Jay and Chris were killing us for that. And our listeners.
Yeah, they kill us anyway. That's nothing new. Don't be mad at us because we weren't literary geniuses as
well,
children.
We were reading, but just – and those books, none of them really moved me.
And I didn't have cliff notes for those books.
Well, you probably watched a lot of TV when you were a kid.
I absolutely did.
I did too.
That was my thing.
Yeah.
So that leads us to our question, gentlemen. So a 10-year-old Jay Mars and a 10-year-old Carmichael Dave sitting in front of the television –
and you're watching something that now probably present day isn't very good, but you're going to defend this show till the day that you die. What is that show for each of you?
Oh, buddy, I'll be listening.
Show. Think Doug's so listening? It's a TV show.
Think Doug's listening, by the way?
I don't know why.
Because he said he'll be listening.
Oh, he'll be.
Want to see if he's being honest,
Doug,
about
if you're
that.
Listening, text me. I'll say on the air if you did. We'll call you on it. I was going movie.
So they put an interesting caveat. If you listen, it's something that doesn't necessarily hold up today that you will defend forever.
Yeah.
That can go so many different places.
Oh God. I mean, I can think of one that doesn't hold up today, but I'm not going to defend it. But boy, did I watch the hell out of it. Every episode, Thursdays, 8 p.m. NBC.
Friends?
Listen, dude.
You watch Friends?
Listen, no.
Are you a Friends watcher?
No, it's the greatest block of primetime television in history. In history. It's where must-see TV came from.
Yeah, I understand.
The Cosby Show, Thursday nights at 8 p.m.
Oh, I get why that doesn't hold up.
Yeah, it does not now, and I'm not defending.
Well, the content of the show does.
The show itself was must-watch TV to the point where... We would talk at school before the season premiere about, or should I say after the season premiere, about whether or not we liked the new open song. You know, they'd change up the Cosby Show open every year, and they became progressively more, they do the dance and stuff. I remember when they did the lip syncing episode for, it was one of the Cosby's parents. They did the lip syncing episode, and Rudy came down and stole the show. And man, it was like, this is the funniest thing I've ever seen. It's wholesome. It's entertaining. It's great.
Right.
And then you had...
That's the 80s sitcom in general, though.
So you had Cosby, followed by Family Ties, followed by Night Court.
Cosby and Family Ties were on the same time?
You had... No, Cosby, they weren't. Cosby was on at 8.
No, I meant...
Yes, I know.
Era.
Family Ties at 8:30. You had Cheers at 9 o'clock.
Love Cheers.
Night Court at 9:30.
Loved Night Court.
Followed by L.A. Law, and then after that, ER.
The golden days of broadcast television.
Brandon Tartikoff, baby, the president of NBC.
So mine just got brought up in the YouTube chat, mm-hmm. and it's one that it doesn't hold up because of the content, and it's also hard to defend these days because of the content, but it's still, to me, some of the most brilliant and
I'm
innovative
scared.
Television of all time.
Yeah.
To the point where when it came out on DVD, I was so hyped because I hadn't watched it since it ended, and I bought I have every season on DVD still in Living Color.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, no, you cannot do half of those skits today.
Oh, well, yeah.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, I know, but it's like...
But dude, Living Color was revolutionary. And dare I say, my favorite sketch comedy show still to this day.
It 100% was. At times, it was far better than Saturday Night Live. Dude, overall, it wasn't better than
Saturday
Night Live.
Think about it. There were skits on In Living Color that were being pulled off of Fox in the early 90s.
Yeah.
Think that would hold up today? No.
No, that was...
Men on Film, you could not do today. Handyman, could not do today.
Could you do the ambiguously gay duo on Saturday Night Live today?
Robert Smigel, I think so? Okay.
Probably.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a question. You know, I thought they were going to go movies. I was going to say Wildcats with Goldie Hawn.
Anyways, what was the 30-year anniversary of this movie today? You
teased? On this day.
We also make sure we got to do a crossover.
The classic. Robin Hood, Men in Tights.
God.
Came out.
We are men. We're men in tights.
Oh, wait a minute. Sorry. Not Robin Hood, Men in Tights. It was the other Robin
Hood. The Kevin Costner one?
Yeah, that one was better.
A little more serious.
Yeah. I liked, you know what? Let me tell you something.
Robin Hood, Men in Tights was funny in its time.
Kevin Costner, Robin Hood movie, best Robin Hood movie. Robin Hood, Christian Slater at the peak of his powers. Alan Rickman.
Love
as
Alan
Rickman. Farmer John, or not Farmer John. Sheriff, the sheriff in Nottingham.
I liked when you went with Farmer John first. That's great.
And then who steals the show at the end? Oh, Sean Connery comes
better
in.
Better non-sports Costner movie, Dancing with Wolves or Robin Hood?
Oh, God. Okay, that's a hell of a question. Here's why. How much time do we have? I need to know so for the crossover.
We got roughly a minute and a half.
Okay.
Roughly.
Listen, the more watchable movie by far is Robin Hood. But Dancing with Wolves is better. Dancing with Wolves is a better movie. It's a brick.
Mm-hmm.
You got to set aside a whole afternoon for that. And it's not something that's
a lot to take in.
You don't roll on to TNT and watch that in the middle of nothing. Gentlemen, today's crossover, and we'll be boring and make it sports related and up to date. And you guys have probably already talked about this. Forgive me if you haven't. So, who is your favorite? Not your favorite, meaning who do you think's going to win the finals? Of the teams left, who are you rooting for to win the whole thing? And why is it the Suns? Also, bonus question, who is the best player left? Who is the best player left in the tournament?
Joe Ingles?
Don't give him any answers, dude. Who do you want to win it all? Who's the best player left? There's your crossover question. Have a good last 5 minutes of your show, gentlemen. Yeah, so Robin Hood is one of those on TNT. It's in the whole, you know, we should make a list. Call it the TNT TBS list of unbelievably watchable movies, Shawshank, Robin Hood, Armageddon, that you can just watch at any moment. For Jay Mars, I'm Carmichael Dave. A's baseball tonight. Jim Rome is next. Go Kings. Bye-bye now. Now.